Hi, everybody, and welcome to Facebook Live's edition of Motivation Monday.
What up?
We have about 10 things to promote this morning, so we're going to start right out.
Here we go.
My pod of Death Wish Coffee, which is in. People say, what?
I was looking for the Death Wish Coffee, and literally
drinking?
Jeffrey had it, like, he was hoarding the pods in his hands.
Boom.
He wasn't
Pockets.
Sharing. Do you have any more in there, Jeffrey?
It's hard to do it, though, because they have these reusable, the biodegradable pods, and you smell like coffee. So it's not like you can hide it. Anyway, welcome. I'm Jeffrey Gittimer, and to my right,
I'm Jen Gluckow.
And to her right,
Brent Thomas.
And behind the glass wall where you can't even see anybody is the great
Doug Branson. How are you?
I'm good.
And on social media, we have Mr.
Alex Baldwin.
Thanks. Oh, wait. I don't think he has a mic.
We'll get him.
Brother Alex.
Yeah, we're working on getting him a mic.
He doesn't have a mic. Okay. Hey, Wes Wyatt, what up? Good morning.
Everybody,
happy dynamite day and week, guys. You too, Wes.
And so,
all right, Wes.
What I'm wondering, our topic today is, and I'm always, whenever I hear that, I think of the Great White North.
Wait a minute. Some people who are joining us have no idea what sell or die is. They might live under a rock, but they have no idea.
Under a rock? Oh, under a rock. I got it.
What did you think I said?
Under okay. Iraq?
Yeah,
no, under
Iraq. So I think that they should know it's a sales show, and this is our Monday live show on Facebook, and we're going to do a kind of a sales meeting so that you out there in sales land can maybe land a sale.
That's right, and we do three shows a week on Sell or Die podcast. You can get it wherever you get your podcasts, on Overcast, iTunes,
you
Stitcher,
must be 21.
Whatever.
We're rated E.
Yeah, we
excellent.
Are rated E. And we talk about sales and personal development, and on Monday we try to give you something uber
extra
inspiring. Uh-huh. On Tuesdays we interview a guest, and on Thursdays we have a
sales manager kind of guy.
Yeah, sales manager kind of guy, or a seller die extra, where we bring you some extra nuggets of information.
We're brought to you by Death Wish Coffee.
We are. We really love Death Wish Coffee.
But if you go to Overcast and you sign up for mm-hmm. this show and you start to rate the show, you can get us back to the number one position.
Yeah, NPR is beating us, and that's
we fell behind
boom.
NPR. Like,
I mean,
seriously?
Like, how could they be beating us in the business category?
Exactly.
That's crazy.
NPR B. The B stands for boring. And
Ken Walls is here. What up, Walls?
And we're trying to today. Our topic is going to be. May I reveal it?
Yeah, you can reveal it, Jeffrey.
Response, and response is something that most people think they do well, but most people don't really understand the essence of it because they do it from themselves when in fact it's felt by the customer or by the prospect or by whomever it is that you have a relationship with. This morning I was on the phone with American Express, and we had a conversation, and literally when we hung up, I had an email from them.
Jeffrey hung up the phone and looked at me. He goes, I already have a confirmation.
Right.
It's already in my inbox.
And I wasn't expecting it. I was sort of flabbergasted by it because most big companies will tell you that they'll respond within 24 to 48 hours, like hello. Yep. And this was, it just got to me that that's what everyone expects.
It is. And it may be like because I've grown up with it, I expect it. What about you, Brent?
Yep. I expect the 24-hour to 48 response to
right.
say that, but then if it comes sooner, I'm always like, oh, I was
see,
wasted
I
in 24 hours. I like that.
I expect a confirmation of some sort within seconds. If I buy something, I want the email right away to give me my receipt and my login information or whatever it may be. It's for me, it's an expectation.
I wonder if Domino's True. In their 3D era, you know, used to be 30 minutes or less or it's free. Remember Domino's till they ran over somebody and then they quit
yeah.
that campaign?
Yeah.
But in the era of 3D printing, I wonder if we could set our 3D printing on a pizza with pepperoni and get that puppy starting to produce itself like instantly. I can't see that that's going to be too far in the future.
No, I think that's coming. So Ken Walls said, love you guys, and shared. So that Thank you, Ken.
Yeah.
And that brings up a good point for us.
Share the damn thing.
Share this, guys. Come on. Share this out with your network. Show us some love. Help your friends get better at selling. Help your friends make more money. That's what this show is all about.
And it is part of the entire process of sell or die.
Yeah, move
the mic. That's right. That's
right. Turn your mug around.
Sorry.
Hold your mug in your left hand. Okay, there you go.
Gosh.
There you go.
I need to see that.
There you go.
Well, it's got two sides.
It does have two sides.
All things have two sides. Like, hello.
It's like I'm writing this on the back of the napkin.
Right, exactly.
Well, which is the front?
Yeah. True. The part that has the company's name on it. Right? Dina DeLuca went broke, by the way.
I know. That's so crazy. I really like Dina. Did they go broke? Is that
why? I don't know. They have new owners.
Were people not shopping there enough?
What? Doug knows.
Well, first of all, Dina DeLuca is a restaurant that is
in Charlotte.
It's located nationally, but yeah, in Charlotte, North Carolina, three of them went belly up.
Yeah, and like I had one on my street in New York City. It was on 86 and Madison.
I
was obsessed with it. I mean, I would go there all the time.
That's what I want to know.
Well, I don't know unless we import it from Dina DeLuca or make it in our house.
And their sandwich people are wonderful. Oh, you know what? I can get it at Poppy's.
Oh, good thing. We almost had a crisis here in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Let's talk about response.
Yes.
You think
their response wasn't quick enough?
Right. Well, our producer's giving us one of those.
Yeah, we just got the move on, guys. This is boring.
So what's expected these days in response? Are you expected to respond instantaneously?
Well, I can tell you what's expected from Ken Walls. He expects you to say hi because apparently I did,
Ken.
But you didn't.
Ken, what up?
Why does Jen say hi but Jeffrey doesn't?
Yeah.
Where's your response?
I apologize for not responding to you personally, Ken. I'll try to make it up next time.
There you go.
In fact, next week, I'll respond to you before you even sign on. How about that?
Now, that's good response.
Yeah, that's proactive response.
Exactly.
But how do you respond to your customers? If you're a diehard and you're listening to this and go, yeah, I respond pretty quickly. Really? What do your customers think? And
bless
don't
you.
Take bless us you. In it. Do your customers ever email you back saying, wow, that was quick? Do your customers ever give you a comment on your response? Do you ever?
How many people can you think of that you do business with that
respond
their speed of response is like something you actually consider fast?
Well, Amex for one.
Yeah,
I mean, that just blew me away this morning.
I'm thinking of someone really specific.
Is it the name of a fish? Well, why are
Ben
we guessing?
Preske.
Just, huh?
Ben Preske. He's the most responsive person on the planet. Is he not?
I have a compliment that I can share with the world. Harvey McKay calls me. He's like my dad, and I love him. But he likes me to say he's like a brother because he doesn't want to admit he's older than I am. But when he calls me, whatever I'm doing, I drop it and I answer the phone.
Mm-hmm.
He calls me the most available person in the United States. And it's a compliment to me. And now it's like a tradition. So how available are you? I tell people all the time, you can call me. We have a 24-hour live person that answers our phone.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's responsive. I don't want somebody to go to voicemail. Thanks for calling. Your call is real important. Please select from among the following 9 options because your menu
that
has
we've
recently
done
changed.
To serve you better.
Yeah,
really?
To serve you. No, it's to piss me off. Not to serve me better. And so I want to know, and then what happens? You know, I leave a message, then what?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Out of all 9 options, there's no option to talk to a normal person.
I just want to talk to someone sometimes.
Press 3
exactly.
if you want to beat the crap out of the person that made this message. So I think that you should, as a business, if you're looking for responsiveness, hire a live answering service.
Mm-hmm.
That would be number one tip of the morning. Hire someone 24/7 to answer your phone. Because most people calling, they want help. Or they want to give you business.
It's not so expensive. So like if you're a salesperson and it's not even your business and you want someone to be answering your number 24/7 and you can't get to your phone,
you
could have your calls forwarded to a live answering service where someone could literally take a message, ping you, send you an email and a text message with the, message. It's amazing.
You hear them advertised now on cable like Grasshopper or Ruby or whatever it is, but make sure the person, whatever the thing is that they're bullshitting you, make sure that they answer the phone live with the word hello. That's what I want to hear. Hello.
So it doesn't sound like an answering machine?
Well, I mean, think about it. Right now, if you call an airline,
oh gosh,
it takes you two minutes to hit the right button to get to a person that can help you.
Except if you're, okay, like on American Airlines, if you're executive platinum, yeah, they push you into a different queue so someone picks up your call right away. But now we've been demoted to platinum pro,
yeah,
and we don't get the good queue anymore. So it takes like 10 minutes to wait on hold. It's crazy. What am I not? I'm no longer a good customer of American Airlines.
Yeah, just to give them your money. And by the way, they want to tell me how much they appreciate our business.
And you did not just fly internationally, did you?
No, I don't. No. You know, we are not jet lagged at all.
And for the record, they don't give a shit about my business.
Right.
If I die tomorrow, they're not going to send me a card. Yeah, geez, we're sorry to see you go.
Well, you were kicked off there.
And you're 25,000. Yeah, I was. No, I was kicked off of U.S. Airways.
That's, I know, but they own that now.
That's true. They bought my kicked offness.
So far, you have discussed speed of response in terms of customer service, but right, there is also an aspect of speed of response when we're talking about lead generation and responding to those leads.
I love Doug Branson because he always knows how to get us right back on track.
No, he knows what we're not talking about.
Those
idiots are not talking about
lead response. He is funneling us in the right direction. Okay, so what do you do, Brent, when you get a lead? What's your typical response?
So from our Gittimer genie that just, boom, puts a lead in my hand. I wish.
Love that.
It does do that once a week.
No, leads come in often, more often than that.
If there's a number to call them, I call them right away.
Mm-hmm.
And then if there's not a number, I email them right away within the first 5 minutes of me getting that lead.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Quicker if I can. If I'm not in the middle of doing something, even if it's on the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And then I will follow up with them. I'll set a reminder to follow up with them 2 hours or 3 hours later if I have not heard anything back from them.
Yeah, that's good. Here's my take on this. If someone is submitting an inquiry on your website, that means they're interested right now, not 2 hours from now,
right,
not 3 days from now, not on Monday
when
at 9 a.m.
And they may be in a different time zone, and you may be, quote, off of work.
Right.
It may be the weekend.
But they're interested right now, and they're likely comparing you to your competition on the web right now. And so who's going to get back? How many times have we called someone at midnight?
Yeah.
Because they've called, they've submitted an inquiry. Mm-hmm. We're like, oh, well, they're up, so because they just submitted something.
Yep. And now my close of the sale is, think of how cool this story is going to be when I talk to your audience and tell them that I responded to you at midnight. They go, yeah.
Now, that's an interesting point that Jen brings up. What has online done to the lifespan of a sales lead? I mean, it's decreased.
It's shortened it. Yeah, right? For sure. It's shortened it because now I can do all of my research online. I know what I want before I even go to the place or before I even call someone.
Right. You Google them as you're calling them.
Mm-hmm.
And you know exactly who they are and what they do.
Well, something on your website had to be appealing enough for them to even hit the call button.
Or you had to have a reputation that brought them there.
Yeah.
Something happened.
That's true.
You know, triggered the response.
It's decreased the life of a sales lead, but it's also, I think, all of this technology has increased our ability to respond quickly, but it still takes that inner will to say, I am going to use the tools that I have to execute.
Mm-hmm.
I concur. You have to be willing to do it. You can say, oh, I'll call the guy back on Friday.
Yeah.
I get excited when someone submits a lead at off hours because I get to like prove what we are talking about right now, that we actually do this, you know, and I'll call and they're flabbergasted that I've called, right? And then I say, oh, and Jeffrey's right here. Let me put him on the phone because you're usually next to me. And they're even more surprised.
Yeah, what does that mean?
It means you're available.
Yeah, you're available.
Okay.
For the call.
But here's the deal. You have to be
Ken, can you not hear Doug when he's talking to us? We keep going silent when Doug's talking to us. So I wonder if you can't hear Doug.
Doug is not broadcasting
to the
world.
We don't know. But thanks, also, Ken, who seems to be the only person commenting. So, guys, you got to beat Ken here because this is crazy.
Yeah.
He loves our new coffee mug. I love our new coffee mug, too. Thank you, Ken. Cheers.
I would challenge you, if you're out there listening right now, Why not post something about how fast you respond?
Oh, they can't hear Doug. Oh, no.
Give us a
Thanks
brag.
For letting us know. Doug says such important, amazing things. Yeah. That's really a shame.
Well, I'll say them all again. No, they should be able to hear me now. And if you missed all of my wisdom, then you can...
Doug.
No, here's what you do. You subscribe to the Sell or Die podcast because we put these shows on the feed and we fix any issues that we have during the live show.
There
so,
you go. Thank you guys for letting us know you
and
couldn't
if you
hear
really
him. I'm
like
sure he'll chime in again
language,
soon.
You got to listen back because Doug reamed our asses out.
What?
Was he was wonderful. Dropping some bombs.
Well, I have some stats for you on the short
Wes,
life of online sales leads.
Oh, okay. Wow. Okay,
so
that's us,
what you're talking about is the sales cycle or the sales response time, not necessarily... Does it like die after a minute and a half? Is that what you're trying to say?
Well, the lifespan of an online sales lead. So someone you know responds to your website inquiring about your product or service, and then
how long does it take you? Yeah, exactly.
So this was from the Harvard Business Review.
I've heard of them,
and they surveyed 2,241 U.S. companies, and the data showed that for these online sales leads, companies 37% of companies responded within an hour, 16% responded within 1 to 24 hours, 24% took more than 24 hours, and get this, guys, 23% of those companies
never responded
at all.
Idiots.
Oh, my gosh.
Someone wants to buy your product and you don't respond. Yeah. That's happened to me, by the way. I've submitted inquiries, and I'm like following up and following up and following
would be,
up.
Though, Doug, less than an hour, like, 10 minutes.
Yeah, 37% responded within the hour. So no kind of breakdown
that's
minute to minute,
good,
but that's good.
Yeah.
Can we get deeper and figure out what the close ratio for that was?
Yeah. I'll call the Harvard Business Review.
All right.
Thank you. Well, yeah.
Tell them
tell them
Mark Zuckerberg said, hey.
Jeffrey, I'm going to use your stat here, but I can guarantee that 74% of closed deals happen when you respond to the lead quickly.
I totally agree. When you respond quickly.
Yeah. Exactly.
I agree with that.
Speed of response is everything, but not only
but
is the speed everything,
now.
Quality. Let's talk about the quality of your response.
Okay. If you respond by email and you've spelled something wrong.
Ooh.
Or you've
or
just
bad
given them,
grammar.
Or you've just given them the email with the three bullet points in it, like, here's why you should send us money now. Not good. I want something personalized. Is that agreed among us?
Yes. Yeah. I don't want a template response. I want to feel like you're talking to me.
Exactly. And I want numbers. I want communication numbers. Send me your phone number. Send me your email address. Send me something that I can get back to you with that will assure me that you'll respond back immediately.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you send out a personalized response email if you don't know anything about the person just yet?
You Google them.
Okay. And they have just, you got a notification that says so-and-so is interested in your company or product.
Yeah. I LinkedIn them.
Okay.
Because most people that are anything are on LinkedIn. Then I would Google them to see what the deal is. Then I would Google their company name, assuming it's not Gmail. They got a lot of people work for Gmail. Have you ever noticed that?
Yeah.
So I want to try to find out those three things. I'll Google the company. I'll Google the person and I'll LinkedIn the person. Those are my three.
You can do that all literally while you're calling the person.
Oh, literally.
And look up their company while you're on the phone with them if you want to get
back
quickly.
Even if you're on your smartphone.
Yeah.
You can. Yeah. I mean, the technology is unbelievable that you can get all this information while the phone is ringing.
So what you're saying is there's no excuse.
Zero.
There's none. Right. There's really none.
I mean, unless they answer the phone in one ring and you go, hang on a second, bud, I'm checking you out. I'm checking your LinkedIn profile. By the way, it blows.
So this is funny. Wes, in reference to not being able to hear Doug, said, I just thought we were playing really hard charades.
Yep.
You got
Wes
ding,
got a ding.
Wes.
Very
That's
funny,
amazing. Doug.
They're very funny, Wes.
And Ken says, I've received a lot of compliments because of my response time. It's actually a huge pet peeve of mine. You have to be a complete idiot to not respond immediately. I agree. Mm-hmm. There's no excuse. Unless you're on, even if you're on a 9-hour plane, okay, then you have someone cover for you. You figure it out so that you can respond immediately.
On a 9-hour plane ride that we were on yesterday, we could have responded, but the
Wi-Fi was broken. Ugh.
Yeah, that was American Airlines, cheap-ass Wi-Fi.
Their new Panasonic ultra-fancy Wi-Fi was broken.
Exactly.
And they couldn't even reset it. Stupid.
And it was $19 for a 7-hour flight.
But we would have paid each.
Such idiots.
Oh, man.
Well, you think they'll respond?
Oh, but this was actually cool. So I mentioned it to the flight attendant, and she gave me points or miles or whatever because of my Wi-Fi experience. So right there on the spot, you know, they have these new handheld devices.
Right. They have Wi-Fi, but we don't.
Right. Yeah. And they're able to award you points that she said I wouldn't see until 6 weeks from now.
Right. Because they had to send somebody a pigeon in order to be able to get it.
So,
jackasses.
Jeffrey, you have
By the way, the food sucked.
How do you know? We didn't eat any of it.
Right, exactly.
We don't expect it.
Flight sounds
food.
Wonderful.
No, yeah, it was great. Let's check. It was great.
Somebody said... Do you want
the rubbery chicken or the stale pasta?
Yeah.
That's what the steward
said
on the plane.
That's the flight attendant coming back.
No way.
Yeah. And the guy goes, I'll take the stale pasta, please.
That's awesome.
That was pretty funny.
So at least
funny.
They were being funny.
So you have a pet peeve. We were just out of the office, out of the country. And you have a pet peeve about what people do when they go out of the country with their responses. Or out of the office, sorry.
An auto response. Like, seriously? Your life is that important that you got to tell me you're, well, I'm at the doctor's right now. It's they're checking my heart rate. No, I don't really give a shit what you're doing. What I want you to do is just respond to me.
Right.
Don't respond to my response and tell me you're not responding because you're not able to respond right now.
We expect people to be on at this age and time. Like, 24/7.
We send out our email, our weekly email. We get hundreds of I'm out of the office at this moment. Like, seriously? I don't give it.
I love the really long ones. They make me laugh. I'm out of the office at this moment. So if you need help with this, email this person. With this, email this person. And it's like a diary or a book of some sort. Like, why would I want to read all that? It's crazy. Ken says about our airline woes, just get your own private jet, problem solved. I agree, because if we bring our dogs, they really need to fly.
Oh, my God. let me just share this. If you're out of the office and you want to tell somebody you're out of the office, let me give you a clue. They don't care that you're out of the office. They don't give one rat's
ass. They still want their issue solved. They still want their issue solved. How difficult is it? I get a couple hundred emails a day.
Yep.
I am still able, while out of the office, to check my email.
Yep.
And respond to the people that need response.
And I don't get notified that I got an email, because that's a real pain in the ass. But I respond to people. They know that I'm going to respond in some period of time. If you have my cell number and you text me, I will respond immediately. Mm-hmm. But you ain't got my cell number, and you're not going to get it.
7-0, just kidding.
Yeah. What about the response if you truly are busy and you can't get back to them within a few hours, or if you just say, hey, I got your email, I'm looking into this?
No, I don't do that. I either get back.
You don't think people appreciate that?
Maybe.
It depends on what it is.
It depends on the issue, I guess.
Yeah, it depends. If it's like something they need right away, they probably don't want to wait while you look into it. But, if it's something they can wait on, I think, that's okay.
If you're putting out a serious fire, I think that's okay.
If your car's just been in a wreck or something, but seriously, I need to know if you have this in stock. Like, yeah, I got it.
Yeah, not cool. Ken says, get a freaking virtual assistant if you have to. I agree.
Although,
you have to make sure whoever you hire has proper grammar and... I love that he's participating.
Yeah.
Proper grammar and spelling, because...
So if you diehards, if you're out there right now, how about participating? Come on, pick up your phone or pick up your computer and throw something at us. Throw a question about how to respond better, or put in a comment about how you respond.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe you're just not that good at it. Or maybe you've been at it for a long time. You don't feel like you got to do things quickly. Or maybe you're not that technologically advanced to be able to respond in 2 seconds.
Part of response is the consistency of it. So like Ben, who I mentioned before, he owns Freedom Merchants in New York City. It's a credit card processing company.
He's our guy, Ben.
He's our guy. And Ben literally responds within seconds every time, no matter what. Every time. There one time, which was last week or 2 weeks ago when we had an issue, he didn't respond within seconds. And I knew something had to be up because it was so unlike him.
Yeah.
And it turned out he was at jury duty or whatever and, you know, getting set up to respond to people. But
guilty.
Well, that's for him to decide. Yeah. Not
they disqualified me when they said, what's my opinion? I said, everyone come here is guilty. They let me out. But let me throw something at you.
Because
that
of the consistency,
germane.
I knew that he would get back to us.
Yeah, agreed. So my daughter, who is 9 now, when she was 8, asked me if I would email the people in Australia about Shopkins. So I went online and I found their email, their contact thing, and I emailed them and I said, okay, I sent it. And then a minute later, she goes, did they respond yet?
What'd they say?
Yeah. She went, like a minute later, I go, whoa, we just emailed them a minute ago. She goes, yeah, I know. So the younger generation is expecting a faster response than we as mature yet decrepit old people are not used to doing it that fast. I mean, just it's a new world.
You know, also, I think that some people believe that there's a perception that if they delay the response, it seems like they're busier.
Oh, that's stupid.
Oh, give me a break. That sounds like, you know
like
what?
Making people wait online outside to show that your restaurant is busy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? Okay, but
I see tables
but
right there.
You go inside and half the tables are empty. No.
Yeah. In the old days, salespeople were actually taught that if a customer asks you a question, you ignore it. Or that if they ask you about price, you don't give it to them. That was the old way of doing things. And
playing
you know
hard
what?
To get.
Huh?
Playing hard to get.
Playing stupid. Yeah. You know, well, I'll go over
that's
the price
so
a little later.
It's so manipulative. It's awful. Oh,
absolutely
man.
Ridiculous. Yeah. It's
wait,
like,
do people actually believe that if they take a longer time to respond, it means like they're lucky you're responding to them?
Yeah, I'm very busy right now. I'd love to get back to you.
Like, if luck's a factor into it, but I would say that there are people out there who would say, don't respond right away because you don't want to seem like you
have
nothing going on.
Yeah.
I want to feel like I'm someone's only customer.
Every customer wants to feel that way.
And that's how I want to treat my customers.
Absolutely.
If any of you out there in diehard land want to hire me to do a seminar for your salespeople, watch how fast I respond.
I think
you
can't
even
what
get a sell in
to.
That case.
Huh? Yeah, if I'm going to be available, then I'm going to be available. Mm-hmm. I want to be available. I want to be approachable. I want to be affable when I'm talking to them on the phone.
Of course.
But that's not everybody. I can promise you that is not everybody.
Well, we're telling you the strategies to win, so you might want to try these.
So if somebody out there wants to find the pain, don't call me. I'll find you the pleasure.
Yep. I like that.
I agree.
What about another form of response, the second or third time you're following up?
Like
with
the follow-up?
Yeah, the follow-up. Yeah. How often or how much time do you let go?
Well, I have a response that I've
system?
Used
for
go years.
For it.
Okay. If you believe in your heart that you can help the people that you're calling or emailing, then you never quit. And the best thing you can do is tell them. Say, listen, you're not responding to me. And I believe I'm the best answer for you. I don't say solution ever. I always say answer. And if you decide that you don't want our services or my services, then just tell me. Just say, get the hell out of here. And then I'm going to respond for like 3 more weeks, and then that's it. I'm going to quit.
Yeah.
And once you tell them, it's like I break the ice with humor. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I break the response ice with humor. And sometimes it's kind of an insult, like your voicemail must be broken because you're not returning my call. But you don't want to go. I don't think you want to get down that path. I think you want to just voice your sincerity and voice that you believe in your heart that you're the best, you know, answer for them.
I love that method because it's genuine and it's sincere.
Yeah.
And it's authentic to Jeffrey, right? Yeah. It's
well,
humorous.
It's my wife.
Right. I have seen some really crappy emails where someone puts like some weird GIF or JIF, how do you say it?
GIF.
GIF, okay. Someone put some weird GIF and they're like, is everything okay? And then they put like a animal coming out of a hole and they're like, what? You must be buried or something because you haven't responded to my emails in 6 days and I've tried 93 times. I just wanted to make sure you're alive and okay. You don't give a shit if I'm alive.
Exactly.
You
want to
sell
money.
Me something.
That's, you know what? Why don't you GIF me a credit card and say, all I need is the number and that expiration date, and I'll get.
But I've seen like 10 different variations of this, are you still alive and okay kind of thing. And it's like, you don't actually care.
Wow.
So why would you ask me that?
All right, let's do one more response.
Okay.
You've just sent a proposal to somebody, and they haven't responded back to you for 3 or 4 days. And now you're calling them up to make sure they got it and that they don't have any questions. That is, I will guarantee you that there are a million salespeople a day that are making that stupid-ass phone call. I sent you that proposal, and I wanted to make sure
that— I just wanted to follow up.
To see if I could have your money. Yeah, that's it, the money. Is it ready yet? Can I come get it?
So— You know, what would you suggest to those millions of people a day who
never send a proposal without a firm time to call them back? Ever, ever, ever.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to send you this proposal, Mr. Jones, but I'm not allowed to. What do you mean? Well, unless I have a firm exact time to call you back to talk about it, I'm not allowed to send this proposal. Because our proposals are customized. They're not standard.
Yep.
Oh, you know, and I like to make odd time, so Monday at 9:59 a.m., would that be okay? And you don't even actually have to answer the phone other than 1 second. 9:59, it's going to be me. You pick the phone and we go, yes, and hang up. So I put humor into it so that people feel like there's an ability to engage with me, like I'm a normal human being. I'm not some, you know, guy with a pipe up his ass trying to be a professional. I don't want professional. I want friendly.
Mm-hmm. Well, you still want them to be professional, but not just professional. No?
Yeah.
See, I want both.
Friendly professional?
Yeah. I don't want someone
who's— I am
who's,
a friendly
like,
professional.
To me, someone who's unprofessional, lacks grammar, lacks spelling, lacks—
They don't have to tell you that. That shows.
Right.
So if you have to tell me you're professional, I don't get it. But I want to be friendly so people go, oh, friendly.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
I understand what you're saying, yeah.
I agree that professionalism shows.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, professionalism shows. And now there's all kinds of professionalism. There's politically correct professionalism. There's gender professionalism.
People are ready to bite. Ooh. Like, literally, people are ready to snap at anything you say. You were making a joke with a lady in the chocolate store, the G store, in— Paris.
Oh, well, hold on. A throwaway line. All right, go ahead.
Sorry.
On my way back from the moon, I—
Okay, at the chocolate store.
That's the ultimate throwaway line.
And she happened to be American and from Jersey. And you were making a joke about these are male kind of cookies or chocolates and these are female cookies. And she was like getting so outraged. You're the weirdest person. I've never heard of such a thing.
How could a chocolate be for males? Women like— And I probably said the word girls because, if you have 45-year-old daughters, you're allowed to use the word girls. I said, girls like milk chocolate and men like dark chocolate. And she goes, they do not. And her husband goes, oh, I like dark chocolate.
And she was
that
like—
That pissed her off to no end.
She was so mad that he was—
Kind of on my side.
That's crazy. Yeah. But people are— And he was just joking around. Like, people are ready to jump at the craziest things lately.
I just thought of a story. It has nothing to do with anything, but it was funny. I'm on my way to the recording studio before we had our own studio. So this is like 25 years ago. And I was late and I'm going a little bit quicker than normal. And someone ran the stop street and banged into the back of me.
Eek.
Yeah. And it was a woman. And she gets out of the car and she's crying. And, you know, the cops come. And finally her husband comes. And it's like a 6'5" guy, like weighs 300 pounds. And he comes over to me and goes, do you write that column in the Business Journal? Yeah. And we start talking about sales, and meanwhile, his wife is crying. Oh. It was hysterical. Totally hysterical.
She's probably really shooken up, Jeffrey.
Yeah, she was all shook up that she ran a stop street.
Yeah, she get the ticket?
She did get a ticket. Yeah.
She couldn't sell her way out of that one.
No.
But anyway. Right,
so for those of you just joining us, this is Sell or Die, our weekly podcast. Today is Motivation Monday because it's Monday, and we want to rock your week. You can subscribe to Sell or Die on any of the places you get your
especially
podcasts.
Overcast if you have an iPhone.
Yeah, if you have an iPhone, please download the Overcast app.
And please like
our
it
show
a lot.
Because
please.
We're currently being beat by NPR. And that's BS. We want to beat NPR, okay? We're beating two out of three of their shows, but there's one show that's just creaming us right now. And that's crazy.
And it's not even good.
You can help. You also might want to, assuming that you're not making all the sales that you're hoping for, you can go to the GittimerLearningAcademy.com and you can subscribe. I think that's the best way that I
love it. Or if you're not ready to subscribe, which that's crazy, but I understand, you can request a demo with Brent over here and he'll provide you a demo.
See how fast I respond.
Exactly.
Check his response time.
For real. Test me.
Just don't submit it this very second. No, just kidding. Submit right now. I guarantee as soon as we're over, he'll respond. And we're going to pop that into the comments so you have the link.
And there is a level that you can get into the Learning Academy by not getting the whole thing, and that's with our Sales Warrior program.
What's a warrior, Jeffrey? What's really, what's
a warrior?
A warrior
is somebody that gets up an hour before everybody else, goes to sleep an hour later than everybody else, and in the middle works their ass off whether they're male or female. And they are fighting for the sale that they know they deserve. They're fighting for their success because they're an eager student. They're an eager meter of people. They go to networking events. They do the things with intensity that other salespeople fail to do and consequently fail to capture the part of the market that they deserve. A warrior gets more than their share.
And so in your course, you teach people the fundamentals of how to become a warrior?
Well, it's about attitude. It's about the objection that you're going to get inside of a sales call and the value that you have to offer inside of a sales call and how to close. Mm. That's the warrior encapsulated program, and it's really good. It's really intense. And by the way, if you're looking for the real warrior, this is not a Bud Light commercial. but at the end, you might drink a Bud Light or a
celebratory
beer that's drinkable,
drink.
In order to celebrate your sales.
All right. Tara says, I have a prospect that's been in a horrible trauma. How do you sell but not overwhelm her?
Just be her friend. Have coffee, have tea, and however long it takes, be the person who never asks for the sale. Be the person who earns the sale by virtue of the fact that you're there for them when they need you. They'll remember it forever.
Mm-hmm. When someone's going through a hard time, it's like the worst time to ask them to buy something. I mean, that's like the last thing on their mind.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear about that car crash. What's your credit card expiration date?
Yeah, can I get you signed up for that? No.
And I think the experience is whether it's good or bad. You know, they could be having a baby, which is a great thing in someone's life. You know,
right.
Still don't want to say.
It's a great point.
Like, they're not thinking about you or your product or your service at that point.
That's a great point, Brent. When someone has something personal going on, whatever it may be, they just want you to be considerate.
But I can tell you this, if they do have a baby and you send them a Little Engine That Could book and you inscribe it with, this is not just a book for a kid, it's a philosophy for a lifetime, they'll never forget you for $5.
I hope we don't send baby gifts to the same people as any of our listeners.
Oh.
They'll have the same gift and inscription.
I imagine when something happens to your prospect or maybe somebody that you constantly sell to, I think that some salespeople would look at that as a negative thing, as all that now they're going through something and now I'm not going to be able to get them to buy as easily. Whereas you guys are saying this is actually an opportunity
to build a relationship. Yeah. It's like the time.
It's a fulcrum point. And if they see you as non-salesy and as genuine, I can promise you they'll take your call forever.
When someone tells me they have a life event of any sort going on, if it's something I can support, if it's like a death in their family and a funeral, I try to go. You know, I mean, that's doing the right thing. We've done that for some of our...
Yeah, but, I mean, you have to be friends with the person. You just don't show up at funerals, but...
No, but hi, I'm that's here. Because I've built relationships
brought
that have...
Brought this brochure with me.
Yeah. No, you don't bring a brochure. No. If it's something like a positive life event, like a birth or whatever...
Figure out a way to celebrate.
You send them a card. You send them a small token of
your appreciation.
Yeah, your appreciation or your recognition or your excitement of what they've done. What's going on for them. I mean, that's key.
Okay, so I think we're about motivated. I personally am motivated. Doug, you good with it?
I'm super motivated.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Rock. Let's go.
And we will see you tomorrow.
Hey, this is going to be a great week, guys. Before we go, we want you to write in the comments what you're going to do differently this week. Think about your response time like we talked about throughout the episode. Think about what sales you're going to make and commit to something so that we can check back on it next week.
And I am not going to promote the Tuesday Sell or Die because you should be listening to it no matter who the guest is.
That's right.
We have great guests all the time, but you'll learn from Jen and I, you'll learn from whoever the guest is, and you'll have a great time on Sell or Die. I'm Jeffrey Gittimer, Motivation Monday.
I'm Jen Gluckow.
And I'm Brent. Thanks for tuning in.
Hey, and cheers until next time.